The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 326 of the World's Most Dangerous Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, your friend and mine, the author of the award-winning book, The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds, Chris Garber. How are you today, Chris?
I am real and I am spectacular.
This is true. This is true. All right. So as there is every week, not a ton to talk about, but we do have a little bit to discuss. And I think Chris and I have a discussion that really needs to be had surrounding what's going on in baseball right now. But first, there's some Cincinnati Reds related news. Man, this is exciting. Michael Lorenzen did a bullpen session on Instagram Live. You know, 3 years ago, I'm not sure I would have understood a single word of that sentence.
Yeah. Well, that's good for that.
I guess. The Reds reliever, Michael Lorenzen, threw a 100.3 mile per hour pitch, according to the app on his phone. Boy, what a world.
You can have a radar gun app on your phone?
Evidently. I'm looking at it right now. You can view more on Instagram.
Well, that's cool.
So are you as
excited? He's in mid-season form.
That's right. Who would have known that he would be in mid-season form in June? Oh, yeah, we would have expected that.
Yeah. So, you know, is this going to throw, I'm sorry to interrupt, but is this going to throw off the whole best shape of his life in spring training?
We may get some worst shape of his life stories, you think?
I mean, I'm in the worst shape of my life, having spent several weeks sitting at home drinking beer and eating, having full access to the kitchen 24/7.
You know, we have so many good athletes in Major League Baseball these days, but can you imagine some of the guys from our childhood sitting through, you know, the 3 months of just, like, think about Bob Horner. Remember Bob Horner?
Bob Horner always, like, in my mind, he had mustard stains on his light blue jersey. I don't think he really did, but that's how I imagined him, how I remember him.
Absolutely. Now, I think earlier in his career, his name was Greg Luzinski. I can't really remember when he changed his name. Same guy, though.
No, you're confusing him with Greg Gross.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah.
So I would expect most of the Reds are going to be in fine shape, I guess, if they play, and that's the next discussion. Let me just run quickly through what we saw this week, Chris, and I want to get your take on it, at which point I will disagree with everything you say. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, so earlier in the week, the players, you know, previous podcast, we've talked about the ongoing negotiations, and I'll try to kind of run through this as quickly as I can. The players came back with a proposal. Their proposal was that salary would be prorated by games played, like they'd agreed way back when. And they proposed a 114-game schedule ending on October 31st, which would end up in a 14-team playoff, 7 from each league. I don't know if they're still planning to set it up National League, American League, or whatever. But 7 playoff teams in each league, top team getting a bye, 114 games. And they also had some interesting things like, they'd be willing to wear microphones on the field during games, All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, during the offseason, things like that. Anyway, that hit, and almost immediately, John Heyman, who is quote-unquote a reporter, had a quote from one quote ownership person. I don't know what an ownership person is, but this ownership person said it's a non-starter, the 114-game proposal. Now, do you want to say anything about that first before we go into what happened after that, discussions after that?
So what I liked about the players' offer is that it seemed to put into play multiple variables, which means multiple things that each side can give on, but aligned on a singular framework, which is that pro rata, you get paid your normal rate for how many games you play.
Right.
So I was actually very optimistic when I heard that offer, because it felt like they could meet somewhere in there. When it gave each side enough things they could give on. They could give on the deferment piece. They could give on how many games. They could give on, you know, the special things, the microphones and all that. But it didn't. It let each side get the one thing that they was most important to them, which for the players is getting their normal rate per game, and for the owners, which is seems to be the total amount they have to spend.
Yeah.
So it felt to me like a framework that you could work with.
I was relatively optimistic, like you, when that first was announced in the press, because my first thought was, okay, there's room to maybe drop back to an 82-game season or 81-game season and, you know, still make this thing happen. That's what it looked to me. Well, evidently the owners said basically they haven't come back with any proposal. Matter of fact, they said they weren't going to. But Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred, best commissioner of baseball history? What do you think?
No.
Correct answer. He evidently, Jeff Passan of ESPN reported that Rob Manfred could invoke a 50-game season. It's basically a threat that we'll just do a 50-game season and we'll give you your prorated salary, which, you know, that doesn't help the players at all because, you know, they want more games, obviously, to get more of the salary. Okay, we'll give you a prorated salary, but we're just going to play 50 games. And that's not an official proposal, but that's what evidently Passan reported that, you know, Manfred was thinking, quote unquote. Does that seem as... you know, kind of insane as it seems to be.
Yeah. I mean, I still haven't given up hope that they're going to come to their senses, but, you know, the window's closing. I mean, Joe Posnanski's newsletter came out about an hour ago and it's a couple hours ago and it says the title's Baseball Missed Its Moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gist of it is like, look, all the other sports now have a timeline to come back. And this is baseball season. And there's no baseball. And baseball is at its best when it's at the forefront of things. Whether it's, you know, Jackie Robinson or anything else, it's baseball needs to be out front. And the decreasing share of imagination and attention and love that the game has now, they really couldn't afford to screw around. And they're still screwing around. So... It's a downer. I mean, I think there are enough people. I think Dick Williams was quoted as saying, you know, he's still optimistic there's going to be a season and so forth. So I still think they've got the moving pieces to get something done. But I don't know if the owners feel any sense of urgency to actually do it. I haven't seen the cracks in the front, which is what you normally see. You know, kind of you normally get the idea, okay, these are the hardliners. These are the other guys, and then there's kind of the squishy middle. And I don't know who's driving it, but it does feel like there are certain ownership groups who would be content to just shut it down, lay everybody off, not incur any payroll. And they have this misconception that they can come back next spring and we're all going to be there.
Yeah, that's what's the most frustrating thing to me is this may be the only time in our lifetimes that baseball ever has a chance to sort of capture the American consciousness in a fashion like they have the opportunity to right now, when it really would be in the only game in town and can really, a lot of people are desperate for some sports and something as a diversion over, you know, real life to the extent that that's possible these days. But baseball has been kind of in this slow decline for a while, and I don't see any urgency from anyone inside the game to worry about the long-term impact of, for example, canceling the season. And I don't know if the players should be concerned about that. They have short careers, and I know the players union wants to work for players that are coming as well, but they need to get as much money as they can because their careers are relatively short. Couple other quick reports, and you know, we heard one report that there are some owners that basically would be willing to just punt on the season. And then Joel Sherman from I think he's the MLB Network, a reporter, he tweeted this week, I'm told, somebody sent me a screenshot because I abandoned Twitter this week. We'll talk about that later, maybe. I have heard greater pessimism today from folks on both sides about MLB launching a season than at any point. People who previously thought the sides would find a way are now expressing at least greater doubt, often more than that. MLB has rejected the union's 114-game regular season proposal. They plan no counter. They are sitting on essentially implementing a 48 to 54 game season for full prorated salaries, or 82-ish, at less than prorated. Can you believe the, if all this is accurate, and again, I'm not in these rooms. Does it astound you as much as it does me, the just sort of limited, short-sighted, short-term thinking on the part of the owners when they really should be looking to grow the game? It's such a great opportunity to grow the game in some ways. Am I reading that too wrong?
Well, I will just say that in businesses and boardrooms all around the country, leaders are trying to make sense of what they're looking at and what they face. And yeah, Major League Baseball is a very healthy, profitable enterprise. But what they're looking at is unprecedented. And I am not surprised that some, at least, of those owners see this as a threat and a time for retrenchment and not a time for investment in the future. I don't know that the game has been perfect in terms, or anywhere close, or even good in terms of thinking that way to begin with. So now you take a massive threat, which is take away all the people, the beer buying and souvenir buying public from the stands, and add a bunch of uncertainty. I'm not surprised. I don't think it's wise. I think they should be investing. This is the time they could make up ground on other leagues in a way that they haven't, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, and maybe it's been that way for a long time, that ownership have been, you know, sort of short-sighted like that. But for a few years now, baseball has been pretty firmly the number three sport in the American consciousness. And that gets back to what you were just saying. This is an opportunity to maybe at least close the gap some on the NFL and the NBA. And they seem intent on just kicking that away when they could have gained so much goodwill from the viewing public. I don't know. I do want to, one thing I wanted to address with you, Chris, is let's say, for the sake of argument, and it doesn't even seem like it's the sake of argument, it seems like a distinct possibility, that there is no 2020 season. I already said on one of my final tweets, my opinion, I can't see coming back to care about this game really ever again. I've got so many other things I can do, and I think I'm probably out as anything more than just a very, very casual baseball fan at that point. And you know, I've been one of the most dedicated fans for years. We do a dumb podcast. I mean, you know, and this is no threat. Nobody cares that I'm, you know, banging my fist and saying I'm not coming back. You know, if you guys don't show back up, but I just don't see any reason why I should care about this sport when really this sport and my team in particular has smacked me in the face for most of the last three decades. So now tell me how I'm overreacting, because I'm sure that I am.
No, you're not. I'm right there with you. Well, I'll tell you how you react. You're overreacting. You're overreacting because you are saying that you're giving up on the sport. And I am not giving up on the sport of baseball.
Excellent point.
I would be giving up on the business of Major League Baseball, because I'm right there with you on that. My interest has been flagging for years. You know, as I get older, my kids are playing baseball and I got other stuff going on. I mean, I don't have as much time, and I don't know, I've just got other things going on. But like I said on Twitter myself, I've learned to live without baseball. We would now be, 70 games into the season? Something like that, maybe 60. And it's like a phantom limb in some ways. I reach for it sometimes. I was getting on the lawnmower the other night, and I reached down for my radio. I was going to listen to the game, and it's not there. But, you know, I just put on a podcast and off I went. So I'll still watch baseball. I'll still read about the history of baseball. They're not going to take Ed Armbrister away from me.
Thank goodness.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to, I don't think I'll be back. I really don't. It's just not worth it to me to deal with it. So if they play this year, I'll be really excited and I'll watch a lot of it. But if they don't, I'm done.
Yeah.
And again, it's not a threat. They're not going to miss me.
Right.
But I'm not going to drive down 2 hours to go to a Reds Fest anymore.
Yeah. They may miss millions of us. I'm not going to be, you know, I love doing this podcast, but I spend hours every week talking about baseball and recording my voice on baseball. And you know, when the season's going, writing about baseball every single week. And, you know, I just, you stated it the right way in terms of, it's not the sport. It's just these, you know, the major league version of it and the business of it. Because you mentioned on Twitter, you know, you're still going to really love watching your kids play. My son next year is going to be fighting for a spot on the varsity. And I'm going to be excited to watch him wherever he's playing. And I'll still love, and I've hated that I've had to miss his season this year, his school season anyway. But, you know, I'll still love that. I'll still go watch that. And, you know, I've been watching a little bit of the baseball, Ken Burns baseball documentary. It's fun. Love it. I've watched it 100 times, and it's still, I get a kick out of it. So I don't want to, I sound like a baby when I'm saying this, and I know that's the way it's going to be taken, and I don't care, whatever. I am a baby. But am I going to have the energy to record and edit and publish and promote a podcast every week? You know, if they show so little regard for me, the fan, I don't know. I feel like I'm whining, and I guess I am, but, you know, it's my show. I can whine if I want to.
No, and I mean, what bugs me is, you know, I don't know if you saw the interview that Dayton Moore from the Royals gave the other day about how the Royals are going to keep paying their minor leaguers. And he's like, you know, this is about the game and the sport. Because these are the guys, aren't going to make, the guys who are the other teams are releasing are never going to make the major leagues, but they're going to go back home and they're going to coach junior college and they're going to teach kids to play the game and to love the game. And that's the part that Rob Manfred and others have seemed so comfortable, even eager to throw over the side. Is anything that doesn't help the immediate bottom line of the 30 owners of the major league franchises. And that's just I know they're not running a charity, but they are, in my opinion, running kind of a public trust, especially because taxpayers have paid for most of their ballparks.
Yeah. It's not a charity, and it's not a, you know, it's a situation where I think that's the way to put it. It's a public trust in some ways. I mean, I know that it's a business to them. And it's becoming ever more apparent how much of a business. But, you know, I just don't see. I don't know. I'm confused.
They're treating it like a widget factory.
Yeah.
Where you get the widgets produced for as low a cost as you can, and you sell them for as much as you can, and nothing else matters.
And if we can use this opportunity to break the players' union, which will put our labor costs even lower, hopefully, then, man, we're really going to make more money off this. And, you know, I expect some corporate dude in a suit somewhere to be wanting to do that, but baseball's not, you know, the widget factory.
It's the hedge fund management style where every business partner is someone to squeeze and every, you know, employee is someone to lay off if you can. And every customer is someone to gouge.
Yeah.
I may be overstating it, but it's a bummer right now.
It really is. A small bit of, I don't know if you can even call it optimism, but you mentioned Dick Williams, a Reds president of baseball operations. He had some quotes this week on the Hot Stove League show with Tommy Thrall and our guy Jim Day. And here's his quote, just to say it. Right now, the sides are talking, getting down to brass tacks. They're exchanging specific proposals. Want to get in the most amount of games. That's what they're arguing about. The sooner we get going, the better. There's no reason we can't get this thing started soon. We've got some economic issues that the Players Association and MLB are going to work out and some health discussions to be had. I'm confident our staff will implement all the health protocols and the players will be kept safe. So let's get the economic issues resolved and get going. I really think both sides want to play. That's all I hear from our players. That's all I hear from our ownership. The sides want to make a deal happen. It's there to be had, and I think we're very close. Now, that being said, this is Dick Williams, who has always been very careful about what he says. And I'm a fan of Dick Williams, a friend of the podcast, obviously. But he's not involved in those negotiations. And he's kind of ownership, but not really. So, I don't know. Make of that what you will. Do we want to talk about that anymore?
No, no. But there's one other thing. I don't know if you, if I'm stepping on your agenda here, but I don't know if you saw this, but being off Twitter, D-O-T-C-O-M, did you hear the report today that all a guy named Bruce Levine from WSCR-AM reported that all MLB announcers, TV and radio have been told they will be broadcasting 2020 games, the road games, from either a local studio or the home broadcast booth with you all calling all games off monitors?
I didn't see that, and it kind of makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, it's kind of, they're doing it for Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez and the gang are doing it for the Korean games. So it's clearly possible, and I could see why they would want to cut down travel. It is a bit odd, though, because my understanding is the broadcasters fly on the team charter. So I don't know that they're really, I guess, a hotel and per diem.
Yeah, how much are you saving there, I guess?
But. Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe it's simpler. I also thought it was odd because I don't think that that all the broadcasters are team employees. I think the radio are, but the TV guys work for the Fox Sports Ohio, I think. But maybe the way it works out, they just say this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, maybe it's just a situation, a health thing, you know. You can spread more people out on the plane, yep. Or you know, you don't want to be going into some new ballpark and you don't know how clean it is in the broadcaster's booth or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, one less person in the traveling party to worry about. You know, I guess Marty's glad he retired because his golf you'd be playing the home course quite a bit more.
That's true, but I did seem shirtless on the beach this week on the Instagram.
See, now I need to quit Twitter too and give more time to Instagram if that's the kind of content you can
you can
look forward to.
Hashed brown content, I'm telling you. Yeah, they're on the beach we went to last year. I'm not a big beach guy, and now after seeing that, I'm even less of a beach guy. So anyway, you want to talk about Twitter?
No, but I'd like to listen to you talk about it.
No,
I suppose.
I don't want to talk about it. I tried to delete it this week and then I can't because I still need to do the Red Leg Nation account. But, I moved it, I hid it in one of my folders. I moved it away from the front screen so that I won't just mindlessly click on it. I find my mental health is better when I stay away from that website because I can't find very many people that are honest on any issue on that website sometimes other than sports, which is the reason I like that website.
And yeah.
When baseball comes back, I'll probably be back, but I'm just, my mental health suffers when I spend too much time on Twitter.
No, man, it's true. I mean, I have to kind of pay attention to it for professional reasons. It's part of my job, but, so today at work, I had, a bunch of meetings in the afternoon, all day, basically meetings and calls. And I was locked in on all that stuff and getting some good work done. And I felt so good at 4 o'clock. I'm like, I haven't even looked at that garbage website all day long.
It's amazing how much better you feel.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. Let's answer some questions. You want to do that, Chris Garber?
Do we have some viewer mail?
We have some hashtag viewer mail. But before we get to that, I actually have an electronic mail.
Like a Usenet?
Yes. No.
CD63922 at prodigy.net.
Exactly. I'm looking at their BBS or something. Anyway, we got an email at Red Leg Nation Radio this week from Brian O'Malley. And Brian said, this is not really a question, but I wanted to read it because it was, I appreciated him reaching out. I started listening to the podcast after reading somewhere about the Building the Big Red Machine series. If you've not been listening to Building the Machine, we're 11 episodes into our 12. Look in the regular Red Leg Nation feed. You can listen to every single one of them or go to redlegnation.com. We've had a good time doing that series. But he said, this morning while listening to episode number 325, I learned about Red Leg Journal, this book by Greg Rose and John Arardi. That's fantastic, which is a little dated now, but not really. Anyway, he said, I found a used copy on Amazon. Can't wait to start reading it. Thanks. From Brian, P.S. Hello from Norway. We got listeners in Norway. Brian, you're the man. You ever been to Norway, Chris?
No, I haven't. I would like to know. I say, hello, Norge.
Ooh, excellent. All right, let's answer some viewer mail questions here. This week, the questions come from our friends at patreon.com/ Red Leg Radio, where you too can support the podcast if you so desire. First question from our buddy Joe Farsing, who gets under the wire every single week. But he doesn't have a question here. Not a question, but the year 2020 should be canceled immediately and we should go directly to 2021. No passing go, no collecting $200. Man, I would sign that legislation.
I would like to skip this episode as well.
Yes. Wait, what? I agree. So, yeah, 2020 can take a hike. This is the worst. Nathan Connor at patreon.com/redlegradio. The MLBPA, the Players Association, has a history of more success in labor negotiations than the other major North American sports players unions. But in the last 26 years, MLB owners have gotten a lot richer. I'd say the players have gotten a lot richer too, but yes, I get it. This feels like a dangerous plot point in current negotiations. Do you think 2020 owners are better positioned to wait out players than they were in 1994? Franchise values are multiple times larger. Owners have more personal wealth outside the team. Technology today gives them more ways to monetize their team's brand without actual games happening. If the union tries to use the same playbook they used from the 60s through the 90s, they may find that it won't work this time around. In my opinion, that comes back to what we were... good question, Nathan. Thank you. To something we were talking about earlier, I think that 2020 owners, I don't know if they're better positioned to wait out players, but I think they are... maybe they are in better position and they're more resolved to do that because they feel like for the first time in a long time, they can get a win in these negotiations. Does that make sense? Am I off base there, Chris? You have any thoughts about that?
I don't know. I think it's possible for sure. And again, I think it's probably a mix. I think there are some teams that can put the season in their back pocket and be okay. There are probably others that are leveraged in different ways and have different revenue streams that would be in a real world of hurt. I mean, one thing a lot of commentators talk about, Twitterators pontificate about, is the different revenue sources that teams have now, like, you know, ballpark districts and regional sports networks and things like that. And the idea is, well, you know, these guys have all this money coming in and they're going to be just fine. That's one argument I'm not sure I buy, because all those revenue sources are directly tied to the game happening.
Yeah.
You know, if the Reds got, and I don't think they do, but if the Reds owned a piece of the banks, do you think that's a good investment today?
Probably not.
You know, right. Yeah. No, I mean, they're not making any money. The Holy Grail isn't making any money right now. Those other restaurants down there aren't making money. The parking lot's not making money. Fox Sports Ohio isn't making money right now. So to the extent teams have squirreled away investments and hidden that from revenue sharing and an idea if there was a player's, you know, a salary cap and floor, yeah. But the idea that they're diversified in some way in their income streams is nowhere near close, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just they feel like, in my mind, again, and this is all speculation, maybe they just feel like this is the one chance we're going to have. You know, you've heard during the COVID-19 crisis, especially in the early days of that, heard some politicians say things like, never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, try to implement some things that we couldn't get otherwise. And yeah, I just wonder if it's maybe a situation where we got this thing, we had a CBA bargaining coming up in 2021, and maybe this is an opportunity we can break that union. Or at least break them to an extent that we haven't been able to in a while. At least get a win that we haven't in a while. That's, I don't know. It's a cynical.
I bet there are a couple that I think there's definitely a couple owners who think that way.
Yeah, I would think so. Probably not Dayton Moore. I would doubt Bob Castellini, frankly, because it's not like I can't imagine the liquidity is great in Cincinnati. I mean, he's not starving, but I would think he needs games. So I don't know. Next question. Comes from Rich Thompson, and I'm just going to give you a heads up, Chris. I thought about this one. I'm not sure I've got an answer to it, so I'm looking forward to see if I can. I haven't told you this ahead of time, so I'm sorry for dropping it on you. But Rich asks, in your opinions, which former or current Reds player has had the most positive impact both on and off the field, essentially the epitome of a leader and a role model? Which former or current Ooh. Reds player has had the most positive impact both on and off the field, the epitome of a leader and role model? Now, my first thought was Barry Larkin, in terms of being a leader, is Barry Larkin a role model? Yeah, I guess probably so. I mean, you know, he's Barry Larkin, and he got a little cranky at the end of his career, but there was no real scandals ever around Barry Larkin, and he was,
a captain. I don't know that he's made a, you know, at least it's publicly made a difference off the field.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, he's certainly a good guy and a good citizen, as far as I know, and done nothing wrong, but it's not like he was, you know, Reggie Williams, the old Bengal linebacker who was a city councilman or something like that. So I'm going to cheat here, I think, and name a guy who was only barely a Red, but I think I'm going to talk about Christy Mathewson.
The Christian gentleman.
Yeah, what, one game as a Red, I guess, something like that?
Yeah.
Let's see. No, maybe...
a few, but
He came in at the end of the one season and played the next, I think.
And traded for Amos Rousey.
Yes, and then he went off to... left the Reds to enlist in World War One, and with his buddy Ty Cobb over there to serve the country.
Yeah.
And... got gassed accidentally, and but just was he was the kind of guy who seemed to be as well known off the field as he was on the field, and obviously he's a Hall of Famer player. So it's kind of a cheat, and I really don't know. Can't vouch for Christy Mathewson. No, he did only play one game with the Reds ever. To correct myself.
Yeah, he was one of these.
He managed them. He managed them for 2 years after that.
He was one of the, and that was after he got gassed in World War.
No, it was before.
Oh, he didn't come back and manage him afterwards?
Huh. No, he left. He came back and was in tuberculosis asylums or whatever you call those places.
Oh, I thought
sanitariums.
I know during the 1919 series, I guess it was, or one of those series, he was doing some reporting, and that was shortly before he passed away. He was a guy that, you know, I don't think that's cheating, because as I'm thinking about which Reds have had an impact off the field, like a real impact, we've had a bunch of guys that were good guys. Brandon Phillips went to every time the Reds Community Fund needed something, Brandon Phillips was there for him every time. And they've told me that. Christy Mathewson at that time, and it's different because that's when baseball was the national pastime, but he was like a superstar. I mean, like, you know, not quite Babe Ruth level later, but he was as big a star as anyone in baseball at that time. And it's because he was such a role model for kids. If you go back and read all the glowing reports of him, it's because he was, again, his nickname was the Christian gentleman, you know. So I'm going to go with you on Christy Mathewson, although I really wanted to say Adam Dunn.
Well, that's also valid.
I mean, if Adam Dunn, you know, you saw him there when he was inducted in the Hall of Fame. He's up there in that, wherever he was sitting up there at Great American Ballpark, double fisting Bud Lights. I mean, you know.
No, he wasn't double fisting. Technically, he had both beers in one hand.
Only Adam Dunn.
That's I don't know if it's double fisting or not. I mean, but he had two beer cans in one hand.
Oh, man. Dunn, we love you, baby. Come on the podcast. Hooper Powell asks two questions. Number one, not sure if you're a golfer, but who would be in your current or past Reds foursome? Second one, also, if you had to choose one of the following movies to watch, Naked Gun or Spaceballs, it's my turn for movie night. My wife has not seen either. Second question first, I'm going to go Naked Gun, but I don't think you can go wrong on either of those. Do you have an opinion on that one?
No, I think I like Spaceballs better.
Okay, there you go. So, sorry, Hooper, we didn't help you at all there. Now, the first question, not sure if you're a golfer. I play golf, but I'm not a golfer. Who would be in your current or past Reds foursome? So let's come up with a foursome. I mean, I think Adam Dunn's in there, right?
Adam Dunn's the guy driving the cart.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him driving the cart, but he's riding in my cart. Adam Dunn would be fun to play golf with.
Fall out.
Who else you got? What about this one? Kevin Mitchell.
You know,
no.
I don't know that I want to commit to 6 hours. Just, you don't know. I wouldn't mind having Billy Hamilton in my golf group.
Oh, yeah. Probably for the same reason that a buddy of mine, when high school and college, he was one of my best friends through high school and college, I'd go play golf with him, you know, and he said, get ready if you're going to play with me because I like to go move fast. He said, I'm like, my girlfriend dragging me around the mall back when they used to have back when they used to have malls, you know, just flying all around the course. So that's, is that what you're going for? Somebody plays quick?
I just think he'd be fun to listen to.
That's a good point. He has a ridiculous accent.
I've got another guy, and I guess this fills out. I mean, are you and I playing together, or am I getting three?
Why don't you get three? Okay, you've got one so far. You got Billy Hamilton. I've got two. I'm going with Dunn and Mitchell. Who's your second?
Dunn's already in your. That's Joe. Well,
you can take Dunn as well.
I'll take Joe Nuxall. No, you guys are in a different cart.
Oh, okay. All right. Joe Nuxall. Oh man, that's a great one. You're about a guy that could talk and drink a Bud Light and have a good time.
You could probably hit it a long way too.
Probably. Man, that's a good call. That's a good call. All right, who am I going to go with? Let me pick somebody else here. Gosh, I want to go past Reds, and it's going to be Frank Robinson. What about Frank Robinson?
I thought about him too. I wouldn't mind spending some time with Frank Robinson.
It came down to, frankly, I was trying to decide between Frank Robinson and Dusty Baker, to be honest, because
that's me too.
Yeah. Two guys I think would be fun to talk about that are way more interesting than people realize. And those are the two. You got one more that we've not named?
Well,
or you can go ahead and take Dusty since I took Frank.
No, Eric Davis is another obvious one something, you know, guys of our age are going to nominate Eric Davis for anything and everything, but I kind of just want to see what he'd wear.
Right.
Because it would be the coolest golfing clothes you've ever seen.
And somehow he's going to have the funkiest swing, man. It's going to be gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, probably got like a tricked out bag.
Oh, man, that's going to be great. Oh, man. I'm already imagining how awesome that would be. So if there's one Reds player, though, that you would consider one of your favorite players who you would not want to golf with, this is a question from me. For me, that is Chris Sabo. I love Chris Sabo. I don't want to play golf with him. It bored me to death.
Oh yeah, I don't think I would enjoy that. Who would I?
Kevin Quackenbush.
Yeah, you want to talk about like favorite players that you just have in a certain area. I don't know. You know, no, I'm not going to say anything because I mean, I'd like to play golf with Johnny Bench or Joe Morgan. That would be cool.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, absolutely.
Ted Power.
Ted Power? Why wouldn't you? Tommy Hume?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, we're getting back
Doug to Flynn. Doug Flynn. I don't think I'd want to play with Doug Flynn.
Yeah, probably not Doug Flynn. Or Danny Graves. I'm not sure I'd want to play with Danny Graves, although he's I'm coming around on Danny Graves.
I'm coming around Danny Graves. I don't know if Danny Graves is coming around or I'm coming around or maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm good. I'm good with him.
All right. Back to our viewer mail questions from patreon.com/redlegradio. Philip Razor asks, that's the only reason I've missed Twitter is to see Philip Razor's tweets, just for the record.
He's posting a lot of selfies lately.
Oh, well, I quit just in time. His question, butter on fruit flavored Pop-Tarts, yes or no?
I have not eaten a Pop-Tart since about 1988.
Yeah, same.
So I have no opinion.
Well, I have an opinion based on back when I ate Pop-Tarts growing up. And I never cared for the Pop-Tarts that had the icing on them. I just wanted
like
a fruit.
Other kinds?
They're just a fruit-flavored Pop-Tart with no icing on it. And we would put butter on the front of it. And that's how I became 700 pounds by the time I got to college.
Never heard of this.
Really?
Now, I've never heard of this. Did you, other related question, did your family have butter? Because I never saw actual butter until I was probably 30 years old.
That's a good point.
We were a margarine house.
Yeah. We were a margarine house as well. I couldn't believe it wasn't butter.
Yeah. So. And to be very clear, we were a country crock family.
Oh man, we were as well. Country crock, the big brown bucket.
Yes, exactly. Those could be reused to hold all sorts of things.
Oh, they were so versatile.
Legos, army men.
Yes.
Loose teeth.
Good times. Ooh, Skylar Webker asks at patreon.com/redlegradio. Now, let me preface this question because we've had very little baseball to talk on our Slack channel. And that's one of the perks. If you join us at the Patreon, you get to join our Slack channel where we talk about Reds most of the time. But the last few weeks, it's just been really bad. So things have been getting a little bit crazy. And so they suggested if baseball doesn't come back, we just change this to Bread Leg Nation Radio and talk about bread. That's the ridiculous conversation we're having. So his Scottish question is, on the world famous Bread Leg Nation Radio, rate these breads, rye, pretzel, and cornbread. So here's my rating. Dude,
go ahead. Well, I'm just asking, are we eating legs made out of bread?
Oh, gosh. Now that you say it that way, I'm not sure I approve of that.
Like a turkey leg made out of bread or just a piece of bread? Okay, go ahead.
We're just going to say just a piece of bread here. So rye, pretzel,
okay, in its normal form. Okay.
In its normal everyday form. Here's the way I rate those. Number one, this is kind of tough for me. One and two are close. I'm going to go cornbread number one, as you might expect given my accent. Pretzel number two. And rye number three. What you got for me, Chris Garber?
Yeah, rye is in last.
Yep, man. We agree on that.
I think I would, that's tough, man. I was a cornbread guy growing up. You know, my grandmother made cornbread and good cornbread. But I have come around to the pretzel roll as an adult, and it's fantastic. Get a turkey sandwich on a pretzel roll. It's like you get a bonus.
That's right.
I think I'm going to go pretzel, cornbread, close behind, rye in 950th place.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, I can agree with that. I don't agree with it, but I can see where you're coming from and I don't object.
What are those crackers called? The only thing worse than rye bread are those brown crackers. You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
They're in the mix, in the Chex mix.
They're the worst.
Melba toast. That's the worst bread product.
Except Melba toast was the name of a car on Dazed and Confused.
That's right. It was.
Let me tell you what Melba toast is packing here.
That's right. Beautiful.
But in the bread form, I agree. That is just nasty. I don't know why they put that in the Chex mix. Or as my 3-year-old son called it until he was about from starting about three till about now, as a matter of fact, because he thinks it's hilarious. Czech mix.
Nice.
Just because it irritates his mom. Czech mix.
They should just put if they need filler, they should just put cardboard in there instead of Melba toast.
It'd be tastier. All right, Skyler. Yeah, what's that? Go ahead.
No, that's it.
All right, good. We don't need to talk about Melba toast anymore. Let me tell you what Melba toast is back in here. Skyler Webker, another question. If there isn't this is baseball related and Reds related. If there isn't a 2020 season, the Reds will most likely lose Trevor Bauer and Anthony DeSclafani to free agency. Who do the Reds replace them with? Either from the farm like Nick Lodolo or in free agents like Mike Minor. I think it's really too soon to even discuss that, is my opinion. I mean, I think Lodolo should be ready awfully soon. So I guess, you know, but he's going to be a 5-starter, 4-starter at the best. A lot of teams are going to be losing free agents. I don't know. I think it's going to be a free-for-all. But so much of it's going to depend on what happens with these negotiations and then going into the CBA next year. I'm not sure I'm ready to even speculate with that. Yeah, who knows?
Do they even want to replace anybody? You know what I mean? Like, what if Castellanos leaves? And now, do they rebuild again? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And I don't have the energy for it. I'm sorry. I really am sorry not to give a decent answer to that question. But I can't muster up the intellectual energy to think through those scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of scary that to think about the Reds finally tried to actually win. And we don't know how good they were going to be. They tried to win, and then we're not getting a season here, or at least not a season like we expected anyway, and that it could, if everything goes awry and the season doesn't happen, that the Reds could literally look at their bottom line, given what's going on the last bit, and probably be justified, it depends on your perspective, but in saying, I don't know if they would justify it or not, but I can see them saying, we spent our cash, we're strapped right now, we have to back up a little bit. And I don't know if it means restarting a rebuild, but yeah, you lose Castellanos, you lose Trevor Bauer, and all of a sudden things look a little bit rough in the Red Leg Nation when it was a year that we expected things to look at least some amount better. And that's the most disheartening part of all this, is that finally we had some expectations and we're not getting it. All right, one more question, and then we're out, Chris Garber. And I hesitate to even answer this, because it's Joe Farsing being ludicrous again. His question, if Bruce...
He's already had his question.
He has, but, you know, it's kind of a loophole because he began his first statement by saying, this is not a question, so I'm going to let him get in.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll allow it.
There you go. Overruled. Joe asks, if Bruce Springsteen and Melissa McCarthy were to step into the boxing ring, would anyone really win if either were able to walk out?
That's mean.
It's mean, and I'm not going to stand for this slander against Melissa McCarthy.
I will be very honest. This statement with a question mark at the end. We know what I should have said at the beginning. I'll allow it, but watch yourself.
There you go. I've never used that. I got to use that so quickly.
Here this better, little... this better go someplace. I don't know whatever they say. This is the last 30 seconds. Is the first time I've thought of Bruce Springsteen or Melissa McCarthy in 18 months.
That's the only good thing about this pandemic.
They have no space. They have no rent in my head at all.
I just say Melissa McCarthy has to win that one because I've long said that when we do the Red Leg Nation Radio movie, I want to be played by Melissa McCarthy. So
yeah, fair.
Yeah. All right. That's enough questions for now. One last thing I wanted to talk about quickly before we get out. And that is, I feel like I need to address this. Last week we played a podcast that Chris and I had recorded a while back for our Patreon subscribers, one of our Patreon exclusive ones. We put that in the regular feed. And the reason why is because last week, as many of you know, we had a death in my family and my grandmother passed away. And the reason I want to mention that here is obviously, you know, it would affect anyone when your grandmother dies. It certainly affected me. She was when my first grandmother passed away, it was bad, and this one's bad as well. You know how it is. But this particular grandmother has a Reds related some memories. You know, if you have the Big 50, the men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds, and you look at the dedication, you'll know that my first dedication was to my grandmother, Dorothy Dotson. And she passed away at age 92 this past week. And she and her husband, who passed away when I was 9, he's really the biggest reason I'm such a crazy Reds fan. The last conversation I ever had with him was about baseball and how it's the greatest game. And I feel confident that's why ended up getting stuck in my head. And he was a big Reds fan. But she also played such a formative role. And Chris and I talked about my grandmother off and on while we wrote the book and then afterwards. And, you know, I pulled up an email that I sent Chris. I guess it's, you know, well, I've probably got the date on it here somewhere. But... this was October of 2018. So that was the year that the book came out. So it was a few, you know, the end of that baseball season ever came out. And I went to visit my grandmother. She was in this long-term care facility and doing great at the time. I mean, she was just a fighter. And it was her 91st birthday when I went to see her. And first of all, she asked me to forgive her for taking so long to start the book. But she was almost finished at that point. And all she wanted to do was talk about the book and how much she loved all the stories in there. And over she kept saying, oh, it just feels like I'm at the game when I'm reading it. And nothing, no praise that we've had over that book made me feel better than that. But she would talk about, oh, man, and what about that boy with the back-to-back no-hitters? And how about the way old Joe Morgan was hurt? But he sat back and learned what he needed to do. So smart. These were her quotes. Oh, you remember when Ted Williams told that tall boy about his pitch? And then he was great. Talking about Yul Blackwell. So, and then she said she saw the chapter Sparky and George. And that was Chris's idea to name the chapter on Sparky Anderson. You know, George Sparky, and named it Sparky and George. She said she asked herself, I know about Sparky, but who's George? And then she was just delighted to find out that it was the same guy. And she would go on and on about how nice Sparky was and everything. And I've shared that with Chris. I got a big kick out of that. She said that every day she got up, she flipped the calendar the next day, read her Bible, and then read the Big 50. And I'm telling you, that really affected me. She and then for Halloween this past year, all she wanted was for me to get her she was a big Pete Rose fan. Okay. 92 years old. She wanted to be, they dressed up for Halloween every year at her facility she was at. And she was sharp to the very end. I mean, she never lost that brain. And, so she wanted to dress up as Pete Rose. So I got her a full Reds uniform, Pete Rose, in her little size. She was 5 feet tall. This little tiny Italian girl, you know, her maiden name was Tumalo, born in Philadelphia. Her parents were born in Italy. And, she just wanted to be Pete Rose. So I got this great picture. It's on our refrigerator of her on her walker wearing her Pete Rose uniform. And, I don't know. It was just, She was a really, really special woman. She called into the school, made up a dentist appointment so I could get out of school to watch opening day when I was in high school. I've got a million stories that related to the Reds and related to her. And I just wanted to say thank you to my grandmother, Dot Dotson, for contributing to my Reds fandom. And you will be missed. We love you, Mamaw. So anyway, Chris, any final comments? I sort of put you in a bad spot to make any comments here, but...
Follow that. No, I'm just so glad that you that I was able to hear those stories about your grandmother. Just I wish I was able to meet her sometime.
Yeah, she was something else. Okay, one last thing, Chris. I want your prediction now. Your percentage. Do we get baseball in 2020? Can you put a percentage on yes or no?
60% yes.
I think I'm going to agree with you. I started to say 60% no, but I think it's probably 60% yes. I hope there's still enough, sense in the room to understand we need it. All right, this is Red Leg Nation Radio. You can subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast. Go to redlegnation.com. Every day we're supporting the Reds. You can find Chris at cgarber8 on Twitter. We're at Red Leg Nation Radio on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, so just don't bother. Until baseball season starts, then I'll be back and saying all the dumb stuff I say on there. Chris, thank you again for joining me this week, buddy.
My pleasure.
All right. For Chris Garber and Dorothy Dot Dotson, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.